we certainly live in a world that has been pretty much gone away from God, and everything there is no longer absolute but relative. Even today, we actually have no morality, because we do not have a reference to that morality. We don't have a ruler or a standard by which we actually measure things anymore. And therefore, when we start to talk about truth, people say, what truth? What is truth? It's an old age question. But the truth is in God. The truth is in His Word. And unless we are always going to go back to His Word and back to God, who revealed to us Himself through His Word, we will never have that reference point to where we can have absolute truth. And that's why every time when we gather together, we come back and we always want to work through from the Word of God. We open the Word of God and we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through His truth and do a work in each and every one of our lives. John the Apostle was an apostle of truth, and he so much concerned himself with the truth. Remember that he actually said to us how God revealed Himself to us through His Word. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt amongst us. He tabernacled amongst us. He came amongst us, and we beheld His glory. That is the glory of God. Through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John the Apostle had written 5 books in the New Testament. The first one is the Gospel according to John, and he actually wrote to all kinds of people. Whilst Matthew wrote to the Jews and Mark wrote to the Romans and Luke wrote to the Greeks, John actually wrote to everyone. And John speaks in terms of the truth in such a way that is relevant to everyone across all generations and every place on this earth. The truth of God will do a work. Doesn't matter where, whether it's in America or in Europe or in Africa or in Australia or in any generation, the truth of God is powerful. The truth of God and the truth of His gospel and His word is what brings about life. The Lord Jesus Christ said these words. He said, the words that I speak unto you are truth and life. And He also prayed unto the Father concerning all Christians. And He said, Lord, Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so when he wrote the 3 epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, he wrote concerning the truth. Why? Because by that time, John the Apostle was the longest person who has ever lived amongst the apostles. He was the last one left. And when he addresses in the 2 and 3 John, he always addresses himself as, or, you know, when he addresses his epistle, that is, he addresses from himself as the elder. And that does not mean just the elder as in pastor or does, you know, as in someone who's in a position, because he truly was a pastor in Ephesus, and he could be called elder. But at that time, he was really referring to his age, because he would have been almost in his 90s. By that time, the false teachers were rampant. There were thorns in Paul the Apostle's side. They followed him everywhere. Wherever he preached the true gospel, they were there to present a false gospel. And John was so concerned about that the people of God and this world would know the truth in Christ, that in the first epistle he wrote to a group of people, but in the second and third epistle he wrote to individuals. And I'd like to say from the very beginning here that though God may speak to nations, like he actually spoke to the nation of Israel, or he spoke sometimes prophecies concerning Lebanon and Syria and cities like Damascus and Tyre and different cities like Chorazin or Sodom and Gomorrah and all the different places or Jericho. Let me just say, God also spoke to people as well as he spoke to groups of people, as well he spoke to individuals. And the Word of God is always personal to you and me. The two letters, 2 John and 3 John, are very brief because they are personal letters. And this morning I'd really like to talk to you from 2 John, and I'd like to just take the first four verses and look together about the importance of truth and how we should live in the truth. John writes in 2 John, chapter 1, and it's only one chapter, verses 1 through 4. He says, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed for the truth of your word that has been revealed and been powerfully kept by your Spirit, and Lord, miraculously transferred to us according to the generations, even that we can say confidently today that we have the Word of God in our hands. Thank you so much, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that indwells your children. And Lord, that he teaches us of this truth. Help us, Lord, to always be guided by the truth, knowing that the Holy Spirit take of that which is Christ, and to also honor and glorify you, our Father, who are in heaven. Father, we pray this morning that you speak to each and every one of our hearts. If someone here may still not know their eternal destiny, may the truth of the gospel be truly convicting to their hearts today, that they would be convicted of sin, that because they do not believe on Christ, and be drawn by your Spirit to Calvary's cross and come to know the Savior, whom to know is to have life eternal. And for us as Christians, Lord, please help us to live in the truth and be controlled by the truth. And Lord, that we would truly honor you and glorify you in such a way that would bring much pleasure to your heart. For we ask you all of these things, and we praise you in and through the name of our precious Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How greatly important is the truth? First of all, let me just say, Deuteronomy, when Moses actually was writing his final words to the people of Israel, he said concerning God, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth." A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he actually addressed his disciples and everyone around, and especially those that came seeking to see him. And let me just say here today that when the Greeks came and saw him and were seeking through him, and the Lord Jesus Christ came also answering Philip, saying that these guys want to see you, he said these words. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The Word was made flesh, as we were said, and he dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, full of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only the Father and the Son are truth, but also the Holy Spirit are truth. When Jesus spoke to his disciples before he went to the cross, and in John chapter 14, he told them that it's better that I would actually go so that I would send you the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14 and verse 17, he says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you. God is certainly a God of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is certainly the truth. And the Spirit of God is certainly the Spirit of truth. Also, the Word of God is truth, as Daniel tells us in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 21, the Scripture of truth. So truth is very, very important, and that's why John concerned himself with that. As I said, that back then, there was a lot of people who were trying to communicate things as it is the truth while they were really spending too much time following the true teachers spreading around false gospels or false teachings. That's why John writes the first John, answering all those isms in the world, and especially the agnostics. And he basically speaks to you and to me as Christians so that we may be able to get the assurance of God's salvation. And if you truly sometimes doubt your salvation, whether you are saved or unsaved, let me just say, 1 John is a great epistle that you would read and pick up all the different things that should be found in your life and my life to know that we are truly saved. These are the signs that we really can, follow and just basically receive from God, knowing that His Spirit works in our lives. Now, in these old days, many people went about serving, preaching, teaching, and because in the old days there was no, places like in our modern world where we have hotels and inns where that people can stay, many of the teachers used to stay in people's homes. And this lady whom the apostle addresses in the second John is a lady who was very hospitable. She received many servants of God, and unfortunately sometimes she also received some false teachers. And, she received them because as Christians, sometimes we become very vulnerable by the love that we show. And sometimes we really need to be a little bit more discerning. So let me just say this morning, if I'm preaching and teaching this message for you as a Christian, it is because we really need more discernment in our day and age. Praise God for those who call the name of Christ. But on the other hand, we really need to also come to examine what they really believe. And if they are in truth, yes, then we would receive them. Otherwise, we should not receive them. Because John the Apostle tells her later on in that same epistle, in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? The doctrine that Christ is God. That he and the Father are equal, that he has come in the flesh, that he is the co-eternal existing second person of the triune God. He says, if anyone comes to you with not this doctrine and that he is not the Savior of the world, let me say to you, do not receive such a person. And then he even goes to her, not only receive him not into your house, but neither bid him Godspeed. In other words, don't even say hello or open the door for him, or don't accept him, don't accept saying anything to him. There's a lot of people today that go around knocking on doors. Some of them say, we're here to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Others would actually say, oh, we are here to tell you how the church has been corrupted, but we are here to tell you about the true church or the latter saints of the true church of Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you that all these people are actually false people, false teachers, and they are spreading false gospels. And that's what John the Apostle is really talking about here. And unfortunately, sometimes I would even go to say there are many others who bear the name Christians, but they are presenting God in a wrong picture or the wrong precept altogether, and they're teaching gospel that is not true. Many of them are teaching what we call today prosperity gospel. Others are teaching a gospel that is not the gospel of grace. Because they'll say to you, while you can be saved by grace, you'll have to keep your salvation by works. Or others may even say to you the other extreme, where you say, oh, you're saved and that's it, you're going to heaven, now you can go and live any way you want. And all these things are actually false teachers and false gospels. We need to go back to the truth of the Word of God. Let me tell you this morning that it's very, very important that we actually see what the truth does in our life. The very first thing that I'd really like to point unto you this morning is that the truth which is experienced in our life, and when I refer to the truth, I'm referring both to the Lord Jesus Christ as the living Word of God and the truth of the Word of God that is written, that is the Bible that is in our hands today, and that is the written Word of God, and both of them are absolute truth. And when I say that truth, the very first thing I say, the truth unites us. Notice the words that John writes to this lady. And I love how the Spirit of the Word of God, you know, has chosen John to write 1 John to a group of people, then 2 John to a lady, and 3 John to a man. As if God is saying to you and me, hey, I speak to you collectively, and I speak to you individually, and I don't only speak to men, but I also speak to ladies. Amen? And here's John is saying to this lady, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, if you go and consult commentaries today, there is pages and pages and pages, even books written, as to tell us who this lady is. Okay? Now, some of them say it's a church, and I totally disagree with that, because that's allegorizing God's word, and there is no need to allegorize where there is no any indication for allegorizing. This is a real personal letter. Why do I reject that it's a church? Because it's not a group of people. It's a lady who had a sister, right? Notice the last word. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. So she has a sister, okay? And she also, her sister has children. And she also has children. He pointed that out in verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. So it's a personal letter. Some people went on to say, oh, there is a little word there that should be translated, that is not translated, because Electa is her name. So it's actually saying the elder to the lady whose name is Electa. I'm not so sure about that. But there's also another people that would say, no, lady is actually Kuria, K-U-R-I-A, or if you want to spell it in English, and Kuria means lady. That just like we say today, gentleman, or lord and lady, okay? A lord is someone who is in control of some things, who is actually, owns or a master over some things, and this lady seemed to have been, an owner or someone who is over her household, and therefore, you know, he addresses her in that way. But it's possible that her name was Korea. Now, I'm not saying that this is definite the way it is, but it would actually I could actually easily say the elder unto the elect Korea. Now, why do I actually say Korea? Because I prefer to have a name there, reason being it's a personal letter. Notice how the third letter says, the elder unto the well-beloved, what? Gaius. Well, Gaius means, you know, someone who's, joyful or happy. It's very, very sad that homosexuals out there have actually stolen that word and actually turned the word gay into, it means homosexual. Listen, they are not knowing any happiness. That's the truth. On the other hand, we really need to understand that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether there's a word, there's a name there or doesn't address a name. We know that it's a personal letter. And we know it's a lady. From the Greek, it's very obvious that when we actually check the words there, she's a female that is addressing her. He tells her, her children, whom I love in the truth. But the point here in verse 1 is notice the words here, whom I love also in the truth. And not I only, but also they that have known the truth. Let me just say here that the truth is what unites us. We're not united because we are called Baptists. We're not united by any denomination here. We're not united because we follow a certain creed. We're not united because we have been found in certain place or in certain community, and therefore we're united. We might actually be united in all of these things, but the truth is, it's the truth that unites us. Who's the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ, His Word. And the truth is, John says, I am united with you and I indeed love you in the truth. Now, the reason why I love you because of the truth, and I also love you in the truth. And not I only, but all also they that have known the truth. I praise God that God has given me the opportunity to go into many different places around the world. And I tell you the honest truth, every time my wife and I meet with some genuine Christians, there seems to be an immediate connection between us. Once we share our testimonies, once we share some things from the word of the words of God from the Bible, once we start to share the blessings of God that are fresh in our lives, all of a sudden there's a real connection. And I might not know them before then, but I feel like I have known them for like years. And I connect with them, and I'm willing to have them in my home, and I'm willing for them. I become very vulnerable in opening myself to them because there's a connection. But on the other hand, we really need to understand that any point where someone does not believe that truth, whatever they may claim about Christianity, that should not really be something that would actually, you know, that should be really something that would actually cause us to, react in such a way to where we examine things. That's why John in the first epistle says, examine all things and hold to that which is truth. He says, examine the spirits. In everything, we ought to really go back to the truth and understand that God wants us to compare things by His Word. That's the standard. That's the ruler for our lives. Today, we have so many quote-unquote evangelical Christians or Christian churches that basically go about and say that they are preaching the gospel of grace and no works and all the other things. But then on the other hand, I actually see that they're accepting homosexual pastors or women preachers and all the other things that the Bible speaks against. So if the Bible is speaking against that, how can I just still accept that and accept these people that they are in truth? I can't. It's not just what we say, it's how we live. John was very concerned regarding this lady. He really indeed loves her, very much like the Apostle Paul loved all the different churches that he established, the people in there, and he was so concerned and burdened for them that they would remain in the simplicity of Christ, but at the same time hold on to the truth of the Word of God. It's very interesting also that many people, you know, basically say to us in this verse here, see, it's elect. That means God elects people. And I actually always say, why are you saying this? Do you think that we don't believe in election? I do believe in election. There's no problem at all. But on the other hand, let me just say, I don't believe in any shape or form that God arbitrarily elects people unto salvation and others unto damnation. I believe when God elects, He doesn't only elect persons for salvation, but He elects people for a position. He elects people sometimes for vocation. He elects people for a certain work. He elects nations. He elects groups of people. God is free to elect anything he wants to elect. But let me just say this. God would never do anything outside of his moral attributes, nor of his nature or character. And don't ever go out and take the omniscience of God out of his ability to elect. God knows everything. He's outside of all the time, and he is able to see into the future 1,000 years, like you and I are looking at things now, and he sees it even better because he sees it from every different aspect. You and I only see only part of the picture. It's unfathomable to me to understand God or how he does things. So when you, please, do not fall into this, you know, category of all the false teachings that is out in the world today. Let me just say, every true church of God has always avoided ecumenism. Every true child of God who has the Spirit of God in him has always had the witness within to tell him what is wrong. Let me just tell you a little quick testimony of my own life. I was only a very new Christian and didn't know much in the Bible. But then, you know, and I always wanted to talk to a lot of people and still do talk about to people of Christ. So one day I met these two people that were actually walking around with Bibles in their hands and talking to people about the Lord. And so I started talking to these people, and then all of a sudden they actually started wanting to teach me some things. And, you know, being open to learn from the Word of God, they started to connect a lot of verses together to show me that Christ is the beginning of all creation, and though he is the Savior, he is not really God in the sense that he is part of the triune God. And, you know, they were not Jehovah Witnesses, but they're actually very close to Jehovah Witnesses. They're actually called Christadelphians, and they're actually beliefs in some things that are totally wrong concerning the doctrines of Christ. But deep down inside, even though I kept looking at these verses and was almost logically convinced what they were telling me that is true, deep down inside, I kept singing in my, I kept feeling something in my heart saying to me, these people are telling you wrong. I took these verses home and I prayed and I asked God to show me how should I understand these verses. And every time I went back and examined one of these verses in the context in which they were actually showing me this verse, I showed that I saw that the context of this verse is not talking about what they were talking about. And I praise God that I didn't fall into the trap of these people. But let me tell you, there's a lot of false people out there. I warned our young people on Friday night. I said, there's something, you know, there's something that is in our world today is resurging in our world, and people are celebrating it. It's called the resurgence of Reformation and Calvinism. Now, next year, 2017, is going to be the 500 years anniversary of Reformation. Now, please do not misunderstand me. I love the Reformation and what it did. I actually appreciate a lot of the reformers, and I read a lot of their materials. But in no way, shape, or form, I would agree with all the reformers about everything that they said. I love the spirit of Reformation that says, let us go back to the Word and to the law. Amen. And I say, amen to that. Let's go back in the resurgence to where we actually say, let's go back to the Word. Amen. Let's go back to the truth of God's Word. But not necessarily go back to all the creeds that came out at that time. We need to be very careful concerning the truth. And this is what John is teaching this lady and telling her, you really need to accept the truth of the Word of God with all simplicity. I'm very weary of the academia in our world today. Theological seminaries and colleges that are actually teaching the wrong things. Everyone wants to make a name unto himself, comes up with a greater theory. And the theory is taking us somewhere. There's a theory going around about the Trinity today that wants to present the Trinity as genderless. Wicked. I don't care even if it's presented by an evangelical. It's wicked. We're just adapting into the spirit of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you this morning, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be going back to the Word of God, in the simplicity of the Word of God, embracing every word in such a way that even though we might not be able to reconcile some things, we need to accept them as they are. I love what my pastor said. Pastor Hester said this. He said, people today don't believe that the whale swallowed Jonah, or Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. But if my Bible would say that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'll still believe it. I need to approach the Word of God in such a way that whatever it says, it's true. And don't try to twist some words to fit it in some theological system of mine. Listen, I love theology, I read theology, and I study theology, and theology helps me to put some things in the boxes or in places so that I understand things, but there is no system of theology that is going to fit everything of the Bible in it truly, and there is no system of theology that's going to put God in it in such a way to where our God is limited. God is infinite. And my brain is a pea little brain, like Brother Hustler says. Amen? I can't fit it into my brain. John is saying here, the truth unites us. And I love what that hymn writer basically wrote and said. My faith has found a resting place. Not in a device or creed. And the chorus of that song is absolutely saying the truth. And it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Listen, there are some people there that are absolutely sweet, loving Christians who are illiterate. I've gone to places in the world to where people could not even read the Word of God. Yet you preach the gospel to them, and they embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is God, that he came in the flesh, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that I'm a sinner that could not save myself by myself. And I trust in him, and I trust that he took my place, and all my trust today is completely in him to save me from all of my sins. And whatever he says, therefore, I want to say to him, Lord, I will do it as a thank you for what you've done in my life, not so that I could be accepted in him, because I've been accepted in him, and now I know that whatever he says, I want to do, because he purchased me, he redeemed me, and he made me his own child, and I want to live for him. And when you see these people there, old and young, some of them can't even read, and the way that they are so zealous over the gospel of Jesus Christ and how they tell everyone and how they live before everyone, I say to God, thank you, glory to you, because you do a great work in the hearts of men, not through the mind, not through some sort of feeling, but through the truth of your word. Your truth unites us, but the truth does not only unite us, the truth indwell us. Notice verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Whoa, what a beautiful word. It's talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes into the believer. The Bible tells us the moment you believe, and listen, if you're here today, unsure about your eternal destiny, let me tell you, the simple gospel is that you and I are sinners, and we can never do anything in order to please God in such a way to where we be approved by him. Now, that does not mean I cannot respond to God. Amen? I still can do some things by his grace, and it's God who initiates his work in me. And let me just say, your presence here in the midst of us, in this place here, is not a coincidence. It's a divine providence. It is God who allowed you to be in our midst today. And if you're unsure about your eternal destiny, there are many people around here who truly love you because God loves you, and who will be able to show you as they open the scriptures that if you would confess that you are a sinner, and if you would actually confess that you cannot save yourself by yourself and come to Jesus Christ today, turning away from your old ways and trusting Him and Him only to save you, the Bible says, in all simplicity, if you do it with all of your heart, if you do it as the Holy Spirit moves upon you, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of God. And today you can be saved. That's the truth. Today you can know that heaven is your home. And today you will actually, if you do that with all of your heart, you will actually have a great power that comes and indwells you. The Bible calls Him the Holy Spirit. It's not just a power, but He's a person that indwells you, that teaches you. Hey, there's a person in this body, right? You can only see my body, but my body is not me, because my body one day will actually be buried in the ground, but I go to live somewhere forever, right? Amen. And so that person comes to dwell in my person. He's called the Holy Spirit. He teaches me. He instructs me. He guides me. He comforts me. And that's the one that indwells me. And if you're a true Christian, you would actually experience that in your life. And whenever God would reprove you about something wrong, He will actually show you where you're going wrong, and from the Word of God, not only show you how where you're going wrong, but how you can make it right and how to always walk in the straight and narrow to please God in such a way as His child. Not so that you can please Him in order to gain a place in heaven, no, but to please Him as His own child, so that others may see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Good works don't save us. Not before God anyway. But before men, they will start to see that you are a true Christian. And they will glorify not you for your good works, but you will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When people see that the things that I used to do, I don't do them anymore. When people see that they use the things that I used to hate, now I actually love. Why? Because I hate the things that God hates, and I love the things that God loves. And what a glorious testimony this morning, when Brother Crow was actually talking about his niece, I just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for such a work in this lady's life. Hey, that's not her power. That's the power that came to indwell in her. That's the truth that indwells us, teaches us, guides us, tells us from the Bible how we ought to understand things. And this is exactly what John writes to us in 1 John when he says concerning the unction that we have from the Holy One. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 he says, and ye know all things, and I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. But ye have the unction from the Holy One. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, later on, seven verses down, he says these words, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, dwelleth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. What a wonderful, great truth concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens our minds to understand the Word of God. Listen, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is that illuminates our understanding of the truth. I don't need some philosopher to come and teach me the truth about this universe or to give me a worldview that I should embrace. I don't need some elite academic committee to come and straighten me on what I believe concerning God or concerning man or concerning the way of salvation. The Bible teaches me, and it teaches me in all simplicity. It was the knowledge of the truth given to me through the Holy Spirit that at the end of the day saved me. God's glorious grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith that cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is powerful. It shall never go back void unto him, but it will always do the work that he sent it for. Always bear the fruit. If you accept, you will actually get the blessings of God. But if you reject, you're actually saying God is excused because he has actually given you the way, but you rejected it. I absolutely tell people every time that, you know, whenever they talk about a loving God that would not send people to hell, I said, you're absolutely true. God is loving and he doesn't want to send anybody to hell. Because the truth is, he gave the way out. And if you do not take it, if you do not receive it, if you do not, you know, embrace it, listen, I'm sorry to say, but you're rejecting the only way that God have given. His name is Jesus. For there is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we could be saved. He is the only way. He is the only truth. And he is the true and eternal life that God has given to the world. He that hath the Son hath life. If you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. He that not hath the Son doth not have life. It's simple. You don't need to believe me, but I challenge you to go back to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is truth and life. Paul the Apostle says these words to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 2:6, he says, howbeit, we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world that come to naught. We speak God's wisdom. And then he finishes that section with saying, but we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because of the truth that indwells us. Verse 3, the truth not only unites us, the truth does not only indwell us, but the truth also will bless us. The truth will bless us. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. The blessings of God in such words have been repeated over and over again, not just from John, but from Peter and Paul and all the other apostles. When Paul writes to Timothy, he writes these words to him. In the first epistle, he says, unto Timothy, my son, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. When also Peter writes in his epistle, when John writes in his epistle, when Jude writes in the epistle, they basically say, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. All the writers of the New Testament basically said that the blessings of God come in Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle said this. He said these words in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Do you know something? You want the blessings of God? They were all wrapped in Christ. If you have him, you will have all the blessings. Hey, I'm not saying that means that you're not going to have some trials. I'm not saying that means that you're not going to go through some rough times. God may permit sometimes in our lives where we actually may do. And I praise God for the things that he's done in the past. And sometimes I know that he's going to do some in the future too. But let me just say this. It is God who worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the grace of God working in me for sanctification. Because in that same context, he says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. He's not really talking about, you know, salvation from the penalty of sin. Now that I'm actually come to know the truth, now that the truth is abiding in me, it's now going to work in me to bless me, and last but not least, to control me. Notice verse 4. 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Now this word walking means walking in a lifestyle, walking in a conversation. There's two words for walking in the Greek. One is actually talking about the style of walking. Someone's styles of walking is like almost a military walking, you know. Someone's styles of walking is like, you know, especially when we grow older, we start, you know, scratch our backs and, you know, we feel like the whole world is laying on our shoulders. But let me just say, that's the style of walk. However, there's another word for walk that is talking about the conversation of life, that's many times it's actually translated in the King James, as well as it's talking about the way that people see me behaving and living in my everyday habits of life. That's the lifestyle. And he's saying here that your lifestyle is actually all controlled and governed by the truth. And say, I rejoice in that. When we're saying that he's filled in the Holy Spirit, what do we mean by that? We're not talking about being filled in such a way where we pour something into a cup until it's full. No. We're actually talking about filled with wine, that means he's drunk. Or filled with rage, that means he's wroth. Or filled with joy, that means he's, you know, happy. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with truth. Filled with truth. Our life must change. The things that I used to do, I don't do anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Paul the Apostle speaks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. And he says, from here on, now that you're actually in Christ, he says, speak no more lies to each other. And that's where I actually say, when does a liar stop being a liar? Someone tells me, when he stopped telling lies. No. He stops being a liar when he starts saying the truth. When does a thief stop being a thief? What does Paul the Apostle say? Let him that stole steal no more. But what does he now do, say? He needs to go and work with his own hands that he may have, not only have to fulfill his own need, but he may have a little bit more so that he give to him that needeth. Amen?
Amen.
So when do I become no longer a thief? When I learn to give. Give God's way. When I learn to really know, as Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Our life must change. I'm afraid we have a Christianity in our world today that is really not Christianity in truth. That is preaching a gospel that is very cheap. That says, come and say the sinner's prayer, brother, God bless you, now you're on your way to heaven, go. And then people say, as Christians, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Man, I think I want God to tell me what to do. And I want God's people who love God, who now I am united with them, who now are actually my brothers and sisters in Christ, to tell me what to do. Listen, one of the signs that we are Christians is when we are humble and teachable. If nobody can teach you anything, or if you're not humble, please, just examine some things there. If you're too proud and nobody can actually correct you and nobody can tell you anything, maybe there's something really wrong on the inside there then. The truth not only unites us, not only indwells us, not only blesses us, but it must control us. In closing, I'd like to say, the truth is the things that will set us free. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's why John the Apostle said to this lady, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." Hey, we have a commandment. It's not an option. Unfortunately, we have a lot of Christians in our world today who wants to live the Christian life almost like going into a restaurant and selecting from the menu. Yes, I'll have this. No, I don't like that. Throw it out. I'm just going to order this and this and this. These are the things I enjoy. We're living life in such a way where it's only convenient for us. Brethren, the truth is what we should seek. The Lord Jesus Christ, His word ought to be the ruler or the standard by which we measure ourselves. You know why? Because when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we become fools. And we start to say, "I'm better than him, and he's better than him, and he's better than him." And that's how many times we go about. We become fools. What I need to compare myself to is the truth. And there's always something that he's working in me. I've said it often and I'll say it again. We're still here because God is not finished with us. So if you're still here, hey, we're all in the same boat, amen? We're all sinners. Some of us are saved by grace and some are yet to be saved by grace. And even those who are saved by grace, God's still working on us. Amen? Let's submit ourselves to God. Let the truth control us as we are blessed by him and we're indwelt by him when you first come to know him. With every head bowed and all eyes